Back to the gas chambers. The final subject in paragraph 7 is the gas chambers that, except for Haas's early sealed-up huts, are supposed to have been integrated into the crematory buildings. Reitlinger and Hilberg take different approaches to making this claim. Reitlinger interprets NO 4473, whose translation is presented above as it appears in the NMT volume, as evidence for a gas chamber in Crematory 2. This is a result of mistranslation. The crematories at Auschwitz are frequently referred to as gas ovens, but this is hardly informative since, with the exception of electric crematories which enjoyed a brief existence during the 30s, all modern crematories consist of gas ovens. A fuel-air mixture, which may be considered a gas, is introduced into the oven to start, control and finish the burning. The fuel used may be gas, town gas or some sort of liquefied gas is popular. Such a crematory is termed gas-fired, on account of the use of gas as a fuel. Other types are oil-fired and coke or coal-fired, but all are gas ovens because in all three cases, it is a fuel-air mixture which is injected under pressure into the oven. The customary German word for the concept in question here is Gaskammer, but the word in NO 4473, which was translated gas chamber, is Vergasungskeller, which Reitlinger also mistranslates as gassing cellar. Now, the word Vergasung has two meanings. The primary meaning, and the only one in a technical context, is gasification, carburetion or vaporization, meaning turning something into a gas, not applying a gas to something. A Vergaser is a carburetor and, while Vergasung always means gasification in a technical context, it usually means, specifically, carburetion in such a context. There is also a secondary meaning of Vergasung, established by military usage in World War I, attacking an enemy with gas. Why the word Vergasung was used in this sense is not clear. It may be because the gases used in that war were really dusts, and were generated by exploding some chemical into the atmosphere. Vergasung. The translation gassing cellar is thus not absolutely incorrect, it is just over hasty and presumptuous. A gas oven requires some sort of gasification or carburetion. In the case of the gas-fired ovens of Utting and Rogers in 1932, quote, burners set in the crown and sole of the furnace are fed by a mixture of air and gas under pressure. The mixture is regulated by fans, housed in a separate building. Separate control of both air and gas provides better regulation of the furnace temperature, unquote. That building is just a big carburetor. Oil-fired crematories are so similar in design, that most gas-fired ovens can be easily adapted for use with oil. The ovens at Birkenau seem to have been coke or coal-fired, and with this type, there is an extra stage of fuel processing due to the initially solid state of the fuel. The two most common methods of producing fuel gases from coal or coke are, first, by passing air through a bed of burning coke to produce coke oven gas, and second, by passing steam through the coke to produce water gas. The first coke cremators employed what amounted to coke oven gas. Processes for generating such gases are termed Vergasung in German, as well as processes of mixing them with air. The coal-fired crematory ovens that W. H. Lawrence saw at the Lublin camp after its capture by the Russians employed equipment, including fans, very similar to that described in the above quotation. Lawrence, incidentally, termed a gas chamber what was obviously a steam bath. In any case, it is obvious that the crematories at Auschwitz required equipment for doing Vergasung, in order to inject a fuel-air mixture into the ovens, and that the translation of NO 4473 should be revised, possibly to gas generation cellar. I have confirmed this interpretation of the Vergasungskeller with the technically competent sources in Germany. The reasons for installing such equipment in special separate rooms or even buildings are most probably the considerable noise that must be made by the fans and, in coal-fired ovens, the heat of the burning coal. The primary meaning of the word Vergasung is of necessity applicable to document NO 4473. It is written in a technical context. It is a letter from the chief of the Auschwitz construction management to the head of the SS engineering group. It makes reference to a process, Vergasung, which is standard with all crematories, and the wording of the letter is such, that it is implied that it would normally be peculiar to find bodies in the Vergasungskeller, because bodies are normally stored in what is correctly translated as the cellar used as a mortuary. Document NO 4473 tends, in fact, like so many prosecution documents, to rejection of the prosecution's claims when it is properly understood. We see that in Crematory 2 there were at least two cellars, a Leichenkeller and a Vergasungskeller, and that neither was a quote-unquote gas chamber. Now, NO 4473 is included in the NMT volumes in a selection of prosecution evidence from Case 4, Trial of Concentration Camp Administration. One must assume that the prosecution has selected well. Yet this is as close as it has gotten to offering the documentary evidence that gas chambers existed in the crematory buildings at Birkenau. The three gas-tight turma, towers, ordered from DAW in NO 4465, are obviously irrelevant. Hilberg takes a different and even less sound approach. He inexplicably passes over NO 4473 without dealing with the problem it raises. He even quotes from the document without quoting the phrase containing the word Vergasungskeller. He simply declares that the Leichenkeller in crematories 2 and 3 and the Badeanstalten in crematories 4 and 5 were, in reality, gas chambers. Absolutely no evidence is offered for this. The documents cited by Hilberg at this point do not speak of gas chambers. The only evidence for interpreting the Leichenkeller and Badeanstalten in this manner is in the affidavits and testimony, June 27 and 28, 1947, in case 4 of witness, not a defendant, Wolfgang Grosch, an engineer and Waffen-SS major, who quote-unquote baptized these as gas chambers, the existence of cyclone at Auschwitz being obvious justification for such baptisms. However, Grosch was a very unsteady witness, since in affidavits of February 20 and March 5, 1947, he claimed knowledge of the existence of gas chambers, and then on June 26, 1947, the day before he was to testify, he retracted all these statements during interrogation, and denied any knowledge of gas chambers. None of Grosch's testimony is reproduced in the NMT volumes, and Hilberg does not cite his testimony or affidavits. There is no reason to accept, and every reason to reject, the claims regarding the Leichenkeller and Badeanstalten. As for the Badeanstalten, we have observed that a shower for incoming inmates was standard procedure at all German camps, so there must have been showers at Birkenau. Now, according to figure 29 contained in the print and ebook editions of this book, the baths or Badeanstalten associated with crematories 4 and 5 are near filtration plants and also near Canada, where the clothes of incoming inmates was stored. The steam bath was no doubt for disinfesting clothes, either prior to storage or after being temporarily taken away from inmates. If it was a sauna for incoming inmates, the inmates would need a cold shower afterwards in any case. The people remove their clothing near Canada, and then shower. What could be simpler? No reasonable considerations can make these gas chambers materialize. The claim that the shower baths, which are said to have been housed in the same buildings as some of the crematory ovens, were really gas chambers, is just as unfounded as was the identical claim concerning the Dachau shower bath, which existed in the crematory building at that camp. There is, incidentally, a small amount of doubt whether the shower baths were, indeed, in the same buildings as crematories 4 and 5, because the camp plan given in the WRB report has the baths in a separate building. However, the point is of no importance. This completes the analysis of the points raised in paragraph 7 of the Huss affidavit.